Lord, thank you so much, oh God, for this wonderful day that you have given us, oh God, that we can continue our study of the power of the gospel. Lord, help us to understand what it means for all of us. Lord, help us to not only to display the gospel, but to declare the gospel with boldness. Lord, thank you so much, oh God, that as we look at the scripture today, we ask, oh God, that you give us understanding. Give us knowledge. Give us wisdom. Give us, Lord, whatever we need to learn from the scriptures today. Lord, we thank you that you have given us knowledge and understanding and wisdom that comes from the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just commit everything to you. We commit every heart. We commit every soul. We commit every mind, God, that we may understand the truth and that the truth may set us free. Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful day. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have been studying the gospel as the power of God for the last few weeks. And today's message is actually the culmination of all the messages that we heard from the last weeks of studying the power of the gospel. Because I believe the most important part of sharing the gospel is when you speak the gospel to others. When you speak the word of God, the message of the good news to other people. Because I believe that the speaking of the gospel, the declaring of the gospel, is the hardest part of sharing the gospel. We can easily display the gospel. We can easily leave the power of the gospel, the power of Jesus in our lives by displaying. But why is it that we need to declare the gospel to other people? And that is what we're going to look at today in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 17. Now consider for a moment. Consider for a moment this morning how different your life would be if you had never heard the gospel. Consider your life for a moment if you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior. What would be different in your life if you did not believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I know that it's not pleasant to think about. But consider for a moment this morning, if you did not have that peace that passes all understanding in your life, if you did not have that knowledge that God has forgiven you of all your sins, if you did not have that hope of heaven, you know how Jesus has impacted your life and your eternity. What if you did not have all of those? Would you be overridden with guilt? Would you be overcome with worry? Would you be overcome by grief? Would you be a hardened skeptic? Or just someone who decides to give up because the battle that you have is a battle you can win on your own? I know it's not pleasant to think about those things, but it is important to think about it. How would your life be different if you did not know Jesus as your Savior? Think about it. You might be successful. You might have the things that you need in life to make your life comfortable. You might have people around you who love you. You might have a pretty pleasant life, pleasant enough to at least escape the feelings of guilt or grief or worry for what. But how about when the end comes that no one can escape? How about when you are faced with your death and you have no idea what's to come and you are petrified with fear and terror because you don't know what's going to happen? As I said, it's not pleasant to think about it. If you did not know Jesus as your Savior, you can stop considering that for a while, because I know you have made Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You do know the difference. You do know the impact that He made in your life and in your eternity. By God's grace, that is yours. Can you say amen? By God's grace, you know that you have called upon the name of the Lord, and the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So through the gospel, through the message that you heard from the gospel, the Lord, by His grace, has saved you. And that makes all the difference in everything. You know, we just celebrated Thanksgiving. You know, that is the most important thing that ever happened in your life. That is something that we should be thankful for. What is amazing is how you got to this point in your life, isn't it? Just think about how you get to be sitting here today. A lot of things have come together, a sequence of events. And that is what Paul is talking about here in our text today. What God had to do to get you here. To get you where you were from where you are right now. To give you the hope and the comfort and the peace that you have now. Actually, the Apostle Paul asked four questions to lead us to see God's amazing plan of bringing us to faith, and he does that. The first question is, how can they call on the one they have not believed? How then can they call on the one they have not believed? Well, the scripture says, for you to be able to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, you got to first believe in him. So you became a believer in him. You got to trust in him, the Bible says. But you know that on your own, you cannot and you will never will believe. But you need to call upon the name of the Lord through faith, through saving. Then the next question he asks, how can they believe in the one they have not heard? Going back to those unpleasant thoughts. What if I did not know Jesus? What if I've never heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ? What if I haven't come to faith in him? Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word of God is heard, or the message is heard, through the word of Christ. Or through the gospel. At some point in your life, the Lord brought you into contact with the message of the gospel. You know, maybe you have been trying to avoid God, trying to keep yourself away from, you know, things that are of God. But God has been trying to get you, or to get your attention. And sometimes you don't even think about God, but God is there to get your attention. So at some point in your life, God brought you into contact with the message of the gospel. And then the third question is, how can they hear without someone preaching to them? That means that someone in your life had to tell you about Jesus. Can you say amen? Someone passed that message unto you. Someone gave you the good news so that you can have faith in him. Someone need to take an opportunity to share the gospel with you, to tell you so that you could hear. And then comes the next question. Question number four. How can they preach unless they are sent? That means someone had to answer that call. Someone had to answer that call that they were given to tell you. It doesn't mean that they were given a vision or a dream to go to you, but there is somebody who understood that it was their job, it was their duty, it was their privilege to be able to tell you about the gospel. And someone did that for you. It may be a parent or grandparent. It may be a friend or a classmate. It may be a pastor or a teacher or a minister who brought you that life-giving message. But somebody did that so that you could be sitting here today. So that you can have the ability to call upon the name of the Lord and to know that you are saved because you called upon the name of the Lord, and the Bible says you are saved. And then Paul added the final question to this quote from Isaiah. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. What Paul is talking about here is the excitement that comes to someone when he gets the good news. Think about when someone comes to you and say, well, you have a new grandchild. Or what if someone comes to you and say, the surgery was successful? What if someone comes to you and say, the diagnosis was negative? What would you do? Man, if you heard that good news, you would jump for joy. Amen. And the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The messenger that brought the good news to you is beautiful because they brought you this beautiful news. Amen? And you just want to hug them. You just want to jump for joy. You're so excited. How much more? The good news of this Savior. How much more the beautiful message than the other things we love. You know, as much as the birth of a grandchild is wonderful, but the news that you have a new birth, that you have been born again to a new life, to a living hope that never perishes, that never spoils or fades, kept in heaven. You know, the news of just having a successful surgery, which is wonderful, but being made into something brand new, Bible says, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. You are given a new heart, a new life, a new outlook in life, a new eternity. How wonderful as a negative diagnosis is. How about the fact that in Christ, there's a diagnosis that you are clean. There's nothing wrong before God with you. Your sickness of sin has been taken away. Your sickness of sin has been put on the Savior, and those sins have been taken away. The Bible says he has taken the curse upon himself. He has taken the sickness upon himself, and he died for you and for all your sickness, for all things that are coming. That he comes to set you free from captivity. He's come to find you who is broken by it. That he brings you true peace. That he brings you true joy that only he can bring. That he brings you a new purpose. As your eyes are now fixed upon heaven. You know, you were bound for hell, but now you are here to eternal life. What do you call that? That's good news. Amen. The Bible says how beautiful are the feet of those who bring us that good news. That he broke through your hard hearts. Someone shared that message to you. It's all God's doing to give you the gift of faith. You know, from start to finish, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit did it. It's God the Father who planned your salvation. It's God the Son who carried it, and it's God the Spirit who works with those people who brings the message to you so that you can have faith in God. So it's God's doing from the very start until it's finished. So it's all God. It's all the Word of God. It's all the gospel. He gives, you receive. He pours, you are filled. And to God be the glory where you are right now. But amazingly, in His God, in His wisdom, God says, I want you to have a part in this plan. You know, with all the things that God has done, God says, I want you to have a part to play in this plan. I want you to be involved. I want you to be a part of this plan of salvation for all mankind. Let me tell you a story of a father who took his 5-year-old daughter to her first major league baseball game. She was so excited. She has never been to a baseball game before. She loved baseball. As they were walking in, her father did not tell her that every kid got a free glove as they came in. So this glove was handed to her, and she walks in, and she just started breaking out. She's crying and pleading for her dad. And her dad asks, honey, what's wrong? Dad, I wanted so bad to come to this game. I wanted so badly to come to this game and see it. But I did not want to have to play. She was afraid that she is being asked to go and play in the field in front of 50,000 fans and play a professional sport. When it comes to professional sport, at least 99.99% of us are just spectators. But Christianity is not a spectator sport. We got a part to play. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Going back to those questions that Paul asks in our text, how can they call in the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? In order for people to come to faith, in order for people to have the peace, the hope, the comfort that you have been blessed with, in order for them to have all of that, they must hear about it, which means someone must speak to them. Now, God can use angels. In fact, angels would love to have the opportunity, but God did not use angels. God can use miracles and signs and wonders and visions and dreams to bring people to faith, but He doesn't. In His divine wisdom, God chose to use human words. Maybe you heard this saying before, words attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. He said, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. Now you get what it means. It means that you should live your life that reflects the gospel. But there are two things wrong with it. First, there's no proof that Francis of Assisi ever said that. In fact, if you know anything about Francis of Assisi's life, more than likely he did not say it. He was part of a preaching order. He preached 5 times a day. And more importantly, it's not biblical. Yes, our lives should reflect the gospel. It should look different from the unbelieving world around us. But words are necessary. It's how God has decided to get this message. Remember John the beloved said in the end of his gospel, he said, "This word that I have written, these words that I have spoken, they are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing you may have life in his name." Friend, there's a reason why God gave you a mouth. Amen?
Amen.
There's a reason why I gave you mouth, because we have a part to play. God in His grace has given us something to do in His plan of salvation. Remember, we don't bring people to faith. It's not our job to get results from the Word of God. We cannot convince someone to believe. It is the Holy Spirit's job. But the Bible says, the gospel is the power of God and salvation to everyone. It is through the gospel that the Spirit of God works. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes. But that power has to be unleashed. That power has to be shared. It must be spoken so that it can be heard. And He gave that privilege to sinners like you and me to speak the words of the gospel, so that the power of God may be unleashed to bring change, to bring change to every heart, to every life, to every soul. My friends, my brothers and sisters, we must do our part so that people can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. You know, as the church, as two churches who bring their two congregations together, that's why we exist. That's why we are here. We are here to proclaim the gospel. Amen? That message must permeate everything that we do. It's not enough that we come every Sunday after Sunday and not proclaim the gospel. We are commanded to proclaim the gospel wherever we are. It's the mission of every member of this church to proclaim the gospel everywhere they are. And we need people like you who are committed to the vision and mission of OPU and Church of the Redeemer. And every single one of us is needed more than anything else. You know, God has given us something to do. What a privilege that God has given us a work to do. God has given us an awesome task. Let's go do it. It's like a night job. Let's just do it. By God's grace. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much, O God, that you have given us a great privilege of declaring the gospel, of proclaiming the good news to every man and every woman, every boy and girl in this unbelieving world. Lord, thank you so much, O God, that you have given us a great privilege, an awesome task. Lord, may you help each and every one of us to go and preach the gospel to every creature. Lord, help us to become a church that always go and preach the gospel. Lord, thank you so much, O God, that you have given us the great privilege. Lord, the world needs Jesus more than anything else. Lord, that the world needs the gospel. Gospel, the truth of the gospel, more than heaven. And Lord, we ask of God that you give us boldness to speak the truth of the gospel that we're